Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
This one I know. This is Lumineers, right?
Got it.
Ah, I nailed it. Look at that. One for something.
Third time's the charm.
I told you, Scissor Sisters. A little Bieber coming up, too, maybe. I don't know.
I can dig.
Okay. This is John Hansen in for Dave Plyer. I don't think he'd stand for any Bieber being played.
That's a hard pass for
yeah.
Dave.
On this Sunday morning, thank you so much for joining us. You know, it seems simple enough, getting leftover food to people who need a bite. Chicago resident Raj Karmani developed an app that his company uses to try and get food waste in Chicago down to 0%. And that's the name of the company. Raj, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. So I first caught wind of what 0% was, and we just had Stephanie Lule from DNA Info. Paul Biasco wrote a story at DNA Info when he was covering the Lincoln Park neighborhood, and I just found your concept so fascinating. Why don't you walk listeners through how it works, how you guys use technology to try and get food to people in need?
Definitely. Very excited to speak about it. Restaurants, they try to best to not have food waste, but it's very hard to predict how much food to make and how many people are going to show up, depending on weather, traffic, many other factors. So when there is excess food, how to get it donated? You know, prepared food and perishable food has a very limited shelf life, and it needs to move in a very short window to a soup kitchen or to a shelter where it can be consumed. And this is essentially a supply and demand matching problem and logistics problem. And I believe that technology, modern technology, can match that supply with the need and find a home for that excess food.
So like in many ways, how we use Uber to get around, or how we use all these sorts of apps to make things easier, using GPS technology and matching the right person with the right person, you just do that with drivers, with food and restaurants, and then you kind of connect the dots.
Exactly. And then lots of nonprofits. There's more than 70 nonprofits in Chicago that are looking to access that food on 0% backfall.
Yeah, and I find what I find interesting about it is that like you mentioned, it's not just, you know, because a lot of times a lot of people that, you know, can't find a meal, they go to soup kitchens, which is great. They get soup, or they, you know, they get canned goods or something along those lines. But sometimes you're able to connect a really good, like really solid, well tasting fish. Like you've done fish before, right?
Yeah, meats and burritos and wraps and pans of lasagna, you name it, guacamole, all kinds of great, diverse, fresh food that needs to find a home. Otherwise, it's going to be tossed away. And it's a shame, because by rescuing this excess food, we can not only feed everyone and hunger, but also serve great meal to everyone who cannot access it otherwise.
Yeah, I can't even keep guacamole green, and I have a refrigerator, so I know that if you're able to get guacamole to people quickly, then you're really onto something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, when did you guys launch?
In Chicago, exactly 2 years ago. It was November 2013 when we rescued our first meal in Chicago.
And that's what you call it. You call it rescuing a meal.
Rescuing a meal, because this is food, this is great food that would otherwise have gone to a landfill.
It's called 0%, and Roger, did you have a, you went to the University of Illinois, right?
No, SIU Carbondale.
Oh, SIU Carbondale.
Yeah.
No, sorry, Raj, not Roger.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Raj and Roger. Look at this, our news guy's name is Roger Raj, so we got a little cross. But Raj, did you go to U of I?
That's right.
Yeah, see you, Roger, come on. So, have you always had a passion for this sort of thing, or how did you kind of stumble into this?
So, I was a graduate student at the University of Illinois in Urbana, and there used to be this restaurant right between my home and my office. And their model is to make everything fresh in the morning, try to sell by the end of the day, and make food again next day. And this restaurant owner was actually trying to donate food. He was actively looking to find a home for that food and was having a hard problem because of coordinating with multiple nonprofits, seeing who has the need and who has the volunteers, and calling in different nonprofits. And I thought eBay's and the Craigslist have solved this supply and demand problem, and why couldn't there be an online food rescue marketplace? So that was the genesis, seeing that restaurant was a problem and trying to solve that problem. And there was a hackathon. You must have heard of hackathons. They happen all the time in computer science departments. And I was at a hackathon, and I was reminded of that problem. And over this weekend, I developed the first version of this app that would become the 0% platform.
One of the ways that you guys make this happen and you're able to move food so quickly is because your employees, a lot of them are drivers. And does the food ever go to like a home base, or does it just go one place to the next?
Great question. So so when restaurant owners, they have something extra, they can do a on-demand donation. So they can go to the app and post what do they have and how much do they have and when would they like it to be picked up. So 20-second process that would alert nearby nonprofits, the soup kitchens, the shelters, the pantries, the youth programs, about this information and giving them a choice whether they want to food or not. And if they accept the food, there is a food rescuer that shows up at the right time, picks up the food, and gets it directly to that nonprofit. There's no storage, no warehouse. It's a direct redistribution of rescued food.
For the nonprofits, is it a matter of they're having an event that day, or they know they have people there that need food right then and there, or they know they will in an hour, and you kind of just trust that they're not going to just ask for food if they don't have that specific need at that moment?
Absolutely right. It is an opt-in system. There's no pressure. There is no compulsion to get that food. They are opting in, saying, yes, we would like that food today. And we have seen over these 2 years in Chicago and in Illinois, Champaign, Illinois, that nonprofits have come to plan their meal programs around 0% platform now. They are now seeing consistent patterns of food and consistent volumes of food so that they can actually design meals around it. So it is not just an ad hoc system. It's actually serving a need, solving a problem.
So, Raj, I hope you can stay around for just a little bit longer. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and I want to talk about, and this is, I don't want this to sound malicious or in any way mean, because I think this is, we're all in this capitalist society. This is not just out of the goodness of your heart. You're not donating your time. You found a really interesting way, I think, to make this a business and to have employees that are paid and those sorts of things. So if you can stick around, that'd be great. We're going to take a quick commercial break and more about 0% after this on 720 WGN. All right, that's a little Justin Bieber. Sorry. Thank you, Bennett. And I guess I'm sorry to all of our listeners who, you know, I'm not a Justin Bieber huge fan. I'm not like a Belieber or whatever they call it. In fact, I don't think I'd ever heard a song of his until this album. And I've listened to a few songs and I actually kind of like it.
We can discuss that a little bit later.
Okay. All right. Okay, sounds good. Back to Raj Karmani, who is runs 0%, which is a company that has drivers acting as roving transport. They pick up surplus food from Chicago grocery stores and restaurants and deliver that food, unused food or food that would be thrown away, to nonprofits that help feed to people that need food. And Raj, I'm fascinated by the business side of this thing because, you know, as I said before the break, you're doing this, you're glad, I'm sure you're very happy you're helping people, but this is also a business, right?
It is. It is. And the question and the reasoning behind it, we ask ourselves, how do we sustain this impact? We are doing something great for great in the community. It's making an impact. How do we sustain it in the long run so that we keep this impact going? And to answer that question, we looked at business principles and decided to structure 0% as a public benefit corporation. It's a new legal entity. It's a new legal structure which allows a company to have a dual impact, two impacts. So a for-profit impact as well as a mission-driven impact.
Is there some tax benefits for that, for doing that, or is it like a, because it's not treated like a nonprofit? You have, so I don't know, what is the classification, give you some benefit?
No, there's no tax benefit.
Okay,
it just legally binds you. So as you, as your shareholders and towards your stakeholders, you are responsible for two outcomes. What is your mission? How much food did you serve? And what is your revenue? So instead of just revenue or, you know, this income, you're also reporting an impact.
So how then, how does the revenue come in? Where does it come from? Obviously, it's not coming from the people who are eating the food.
Absolutely. There is no cost for nonprofits. However, they are responsible for the pickup and delivery costs. But there is still significant cost for the technology and the, and my team members who are reaching out to restaurants myself. I'm full-time into this. So how do we continue this impact and keep paying people who are working day and hard to make this happen? And so we start looking into where are we creating value for the businesses that are part of this program. And one thing we learned is that some businesses are eligible for an additional tax write-off. So if they were throwing the food away, they were not getting a tax deduction. But if they were to donate, they could get an extra charitable tax donation for that program, as long as they have all the documentation, which the 0% platform provides. So we were actually saving restaurants more money. And if you create that value, you can charge the restaurants for that service.
So you charge them for the service and they get a tax benefit. So it ends up kind of being a wash for them in many ways. And also, you know, you say you charge the nonprofits for delivery and stuff, but, you know, they also, you know, that's pretty typical. They rely on donations, and if they have to pay a nominal fee, I imagine they're more than happy to get this high quality stuff to people that use their nonprofit centers.
Absolutely, and to get it delivered at their doorstep. About half of our nonprofit partners do the rescue themselves, so they are connected to the app themselves directly. So they send their own staff or volunteers to pick up the food, and they don't pay anything. They just use their existing resources. But there are many of the nonprofits that do not have that capability to come and grab the food themselves. So what they opt in is, hey, I want this food, and then you also have it delivered to our doorsteps. And then they pay a nominal delivery fee.
So I also see, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember talking to Paul Biesco about this last year, that for, I think, a little bit more money, or I don't know exactly what it is, but you can provide, since you guys are, you know, you're tracking how much food, how many pounds are being wasted, quote unquote, wasted by the restaurant that you're rescuing, you can give them some data, right? And then that can help them better prepare how they do their meals.
Absolutely, and that was quite a surprise for us, that even some very sophisticated restaurants would not exactly know how much food or what kinds of foods were being actually produced in excess or were purchased in excess in their kitchen, in their day-to-day operations. And to have that kind of data was kind of a revelation for them. In terms of operations.
So paying for the data, which they can pay for, and paying for, you know, to get that tax write-off, I mean, essentially, it seems like a no-brainer for restaurants. They're putting a little money up front, but not only is it for a great cause, but it's going to save them or bring in money in the long run. So with that being said, you know, last year, about a year ago when Paul wrote the article, you got Lou Malnati's on board, Eataly, Hannah's Bretzel, The Signature Room. Do you have any other big names that have joined on in the last year?
Yes, some local restaurant chains and some also grocery stores now. There are local, regional grocery store chains. And there are some big names that have joined, some hotels recently. So Sopafina is one, and Blackwood Barbecue is another upcoming chain that's joined the program. And there are a lot of healthy food companies. So think of Farmer's Fridge, then Kitchfix, Factor 75. These are healthy on-demand food delivery companies that have a mission to get healthy food to Chicagoans. And now they've extended their mission by working with 0% to get this healthy food to Chicagoans, not only big, Chicagoans who can afford it, but also Chicagoans who need it.
I think that's also an interesting angle, is that I hadn't really thought about, that not only do the meals taste better to people so they don't have to have the same things that they can't afford, but I imagine a lot of these people, they probably buy what's cheap, maybe, if they do come across a dollar or a couple dollars, and they might go to McDonald's. Nothing wrong with McDonald's, but they're having meals that are fast food, more oriented. There's a lot of health benefits to this, too. And, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, you have a salad and you have some fish, all of a sudden you're going to be, your life's turned around and you're going to be totally fine. But there is an element of eating healthier can start to be a building block to a better life.
You're absolutely right. You are hitting a point that we are really so excited about in our next phase, that what we found out is that 200 nonprofits have signed up on 0% in the last 2 years in Chicago. And many of them are in the South or in the West, in the so-called food deserts, where for blocks and blocks, all you have is some convenience stores and or a fast food restaurant. And essentially, we are bringing those healthy options to those nonprofits in those areas, and making those healthy options accessible in those neighborhoods where there was no options for fresh food.
You know, I think so, what you've done, Raj, with 0% is something. Obviously, it's incredible the work you guys do every day, but you've created a company that both the hardcore conservative will love because you're aiming to make money, and the hardcore liberal will love because you're helping to feed people in need. I don't know of any company that's ever done that before. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. You are saying a big statement, and I hope and I believe that's true. But every day we are all committed about saving another meal and bringing it to our neighbors in need. And one other fact, we are about to hit our 1 million pounds of rescued food this December.
Wow. Oh, total? Wow. How many meals does that turn out to be then?
So the USDA metric is 1.2 pounds for a meal. So we are looking at about 900,000 meals.
You've rescued 900,000 meals in 2 years?
In 2 years. And we believe that's slow. Our goal is to make that million meals next year in just 1 year.
And twice as fast. And just so people understand, these are 900,000 meals that would have ended up in a dumpster.
That is right. That is the irony. Great healthy food is going to waste. And by only rescuing 10% of it, we can end hunger and get great food to everyone in need.
Company, are you guys still in the Merchandise Mart, part of the tech incubator?
Yes, we are very excited to be still part of the 1871 community. It's growing and it's thriving. So we are part of that rising tide and seeing a lot of energy, a lot of momentum in that space, and a lot of excitement about the different kinds of startups that we could partner with and different kind of connections that we can make with the members of the community.
I imagine that, you know, there's not really a call to action for people listening, I guess you could say. I mean, you know, I'm sure you'd take money if it was given to you, but that's, I mean, you guys are a business that you don't need necessarily people just to give you money. Is it a matter of getting the word out that if you know a business, then you, like, I remember once at work, I saw a place, I won't name it, threw a bunch of bagels in a dumpster, and I just tweeted at 0% and the restaurant and said, hey, you two should link up maybe. Is that something people can do, like restaurants that may not have heard of this, and get the word out?
Absolutely. That's a great point. And yes, I do remember, John, and getting the word out to restaurants as well as nonprofits. There might be a youth program or a pantry in your neighborhood that might be struggling to get access to more food or better food for their clients and neighbors. And also, we are raising awareness about all those 200 nonprofits that are doing great work in their own communities. So you and all the listeners can check out foodrescue.io. So www.foodrescue.io to see what those nonprofits are doing in the community and help them rescue food. Food Rescue and pickup and delivery costs can be significant for nonprofits in the South Side, West Side, and other under-resourced nonprofits.
Rajkumar, yeah.
See how you can engage and help them.
Rajkumarani, it's 0%. It warms your heart a little bit, especially around the holiday season. Thanks so much for joining us.